So this is the midwife's legacy. Pregnancy and birth are supposed to be joyful occasions. And for most, at least here in 2019 in the UK, fortunately, they are. And a couple of weeks ago, the country welcomed a new royal baby, Archie. And there was much speculation as to where he or she would be born. And you may say, does it really matter? Probably not. Wherever he was born, and we now know that it was in the privately run Portland Hospital, what is certain is that Meghan had antenatal care throughout her pregnancy by a well-chosen and respected healthcare professional team, that her labour and delivery was monitored closely and attended to by healthcare professionals, and that there was almost certainly a theatre team on standby in case of any difficulty. It turns out that it does matter where you're born, and not just if you're royal. This year, Christian Aid has concentrated its campaign on the topic of maternal death in Sierra Leone. It's a topic that seems so wrong, so harsh, so upsetting, that it actually had a parallel campaign for its schools and all-age talks that was based around female education, and that's what we've heard about earlier. And because female education and reducing maternal death are linked, as Tricia has hinted to, it's a good call by Christian Aid to cover them both at the same time. So we're going to continue our theme a little bit now by looking at six women, two midwives and two mums. And like ancient Egypt, Sierra Leone is a very dangerous place to give birth, but for very different reasons. Here in the UK, giving birth is relatively safe. The maternal death rate here in the UK, according to latest figures, was 9 deaths per every 100,000 births. It's vanishingly small. Contrast that to Sierra Leone, where that figure is 1,360 deaths per 100,000 births. Makes this the most dangerous place in the world to be pregnant and give birth. In Sierra Leone, 10 women die every day giving birth. And 1 in 9 babies don't reach their 5th birthday. The lack of midwives and trained healthcare professionals has been worsened by the relatively recent Ebola crisis, and that's part of the problem. But their pregnancy is associated with fear rather than rejoicing. Jebba Connor is one of the kindest people you will ever meet. She has a warm smile and a motherly touch, but her life has been incredibly tough. Recently, Jebba's sister Fatima was pregnant in a village nearby. When she went into labour, there were so few ambulances that Fatima had no choice but to walk for 3 hours under the baking sun to the nearest hospital. The road was long and she struggled to keep walking. With every step, she feared for her life and the life of her baby. Jebba told Christian Aid, "My sister was crying out with hunger. She died on the side of the road. She never gave birth. No woman should die in childbirth," and that's the line that you may have seen on some of the Christian Aid posters that have been around this week. But for Jebba, Fatima wasn't just any woman. This was her sister, her strength, her comfort, her own. And Jebba herself is heavily pregnant. And as a baby grows, it's not joy that fills her heart, but fear. And pregnancy should be a time of joy, not a time of fear. But instead of buying baby clothes, Jebba has had to go to her sister's funeral. Instead of excitement and joy, she feels pain and sorrow. And she cries, and we cry with her. It's only relatively recently that death in childbirth and neonatal death has become a rarity in this country, and that's thanks to improved maternity service and advance in treatment and diagnosis of problems earlier. And the whole topic, as a doctor and someone who's interested in medical history, fascinates me, and I could talk about it for hours, but this is not the time or the place to do that. But ask me about it later if you want to. But up until as recently as the 19th and early 20th century, death in childbirth was common. Women would write their wills and make sure their estates was in order when they found out they were pregnant. And it's only within my lifetime that the Church of England has removed the service of churching of women who had recently given birth and replaced it with a service of thanksgiving. But that service thanked God for the safe deliverance and preservations from the great dangers of childbirth. It was a risky business. And giving birth in ancient Egypt was no better. It too was a risky business. In the story that Colin read in Exodus, we hear that the descendants of Joseph and the rest of Jacob's family have multiplied in number. Pharaoh is worried that in the event of war, they would join with the enemy and fight against them. So he comes up with a plan. First, he tries to suppress them with hard labor, but that doesn't work. So he devises another plan. Let's kill the boys. That way the girls will marry the Egyptians. Problem solved. No males means that no one can carry on the family line. And so in this case, traditional male domination is actually working against the boys. The males are the ones in danger. So Pharaoh thinks, how do we kill them without too much fuss? Well, let's intervene when they're most vulnerable, as newborns. And who best to do that? That's the midwives. And this may be lesser known but radical story of Shifra and Pua that precedes the birth of Moses is a wonderful example of non-violent resistance. And it may be the first recorded act of civil disobedience. These two midwives are summoned to Pharaoh. Are they the only two Hebrew midwives? Or are they supervisors over a group of more midwives? We don't really know. Are they Hebrews themselves, or are they Egyptians that are helping the Hebrews? Again, there are arguments for both. It doesn't really matter. Whoever they are, Pharaoh asks them to kill the boys and lets the girls live. Now, bear in mind, as I said, that neonatal death rate at this point is relatively high. It would not have been unusual for some babies not to survive. It wouldn't have been difficult, in terms of practicality, for the midwives to carry out this request. They wouldn't have been questioned. There'd been no internal government review into the death rates. No one would have noticed. And babies are tough, but at birth, they do sometimes need assistance to take that first breath, for them to make that first cry. It wouldn't always have needed action, but just inaction on the part of the midwife, and the king's orders would be followed. But the midwives had trained to bring life into the world and to sustain it. And they recognized that this was wrong. The midwives refused to obey the Pharaoh's deathly commands to kill all the newborn babies in his attempt to control and reduce the number of Israelites. Shifra and Pua refused to comply with the Pharaoh's commands, since to do so would be a complete opposite of what they'd been called to do as midwives, that is, to bring life safely into the world. They recognized the authority of God and feared God, so they disobeyed Pharaoh. This wasn't something to be done lightly. They certainly risked their freedom and most likely their lives for disobeying orders of the king. And when they're summoned again to ask and to explain why this death at birth policy wasn't working, they make up a story to explain themselves, saying that the Hebrew women give birth just too quickly before they get there. They lie. These two women recognized the authority of God over the king. They feared God. They knew what was right and would not give in and do the wrong thing. They lied. And this may be uncomfortable for us to weigh up in our minds. Is it right that they lied? But God rewarded them because of their fear of him. They were rewarded for their actions and not for their lies or their words. Whose authority do we listen to? Are we known as people of action and not just words? Tenaboa rests her 3-month-old baby Ansuma on her lap. She bounces him on her knee and giggles happily. Tena and her baby are visiting a temporary health clinic in Sierra Leone. They're attended to by Nurse Judith, who delivered the baby in that room just a few months before. Thankfully, both mum and baby are healthy. But tragically, Tena had loved and lost a baby before. A few years ago, when Tena was pregnant with her first child, there was no health centre or trained nurse in her village. With no other choice, Tena was taken by her mother to a traditional birth attendant. For the 2 days of her labour, Tena was in agony. She fell unconscious and was bleeding heavily. When at last she woke up, her whole body was swollen. In the days and months afterwards, Tena was still very weak and her baby wouldn't breastfeed. Tragically, her little one died when he was just 3 months old. I will never forget that day, Tena recalls. I felt sick like I've never been sick before. I love my baby so much. Thankfully, when Tena was pregnant a second time, things had changed for the better. Christian Aid's partner, Rada, saw that Tena and many mums like her were in desperate need of healthcare. And that's how Nurse Judith came to save lives. With expert love and care, Nurse Judith delivered Tena's baby safely. But the health centre where Judith works is not enough to meet every need. The roof leaks. There are only 2 delivery beds. And when mums come to deliver at night, Judith has no light to see by. This makes giving birth even more dangerous. But we believe that every life is worth fighting for. And Christian Aid this week wants to help give more mums and babies across the world the greatest gift, the gift of life. With your support and the support of Christian Aid, Tena's community could build a bigger, better health centre to help ensure that more mums see their babies grow and enjoy the fullness of life. Nurse Judith says, "I know that for women here, thanks to Christian Aid, our situation is going to change." And Judith, thanks to her education and her training as a midwife, is making a difference through her actions, helping women deliver safely in Sierra Leone. There was no doubt that for baby boys, including Moses, Egypt was a very dangerous place to be born. But the first 2 chapters of Exodus demonstrate the ingenuity and creativity of women in the face of such adversity. Shifra and Pua, Moses' mum and sister, and even Pharaoh's daughter demonstrate how naive Pharaoh must have been to think that by just getting rid of the boys, he'd have no trouble to contend with. The midwife's actions brought about opportunity. Even though Pharaoh had another plan to kill the boys by throwing them into the Nile, their actions allowed Moses to be born and survive long enough to give his mother a chance to hide him and for God's plan to deliver the nation to come about. They left a legacy. They may be among the lesser known women of the Bible. They are often forgotten about. But the Israelites who made it out of Egypt, the ones who wandered in the desert for 40 years and finally settled in the land that they'd been promised, they did not forget these women. Their story of disobedience to the Pharaoh and their decision to choose life over death was told and retold again and again through generations. It was kept alive through oral tradition until it was written down to be preserved forever. And when it was written down, they remembered to include the names of those two midwives. Puah and Shifra are remembered by name. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who oppressed and enslaved Moses' people, he remains nameless in the book of Exodus. But the writer remembers and recalls the names of the midwives. They are known to us. They are certainly known to God. Their seemingly small but courageous actions brought about large change. And we too, even through small actions, can make a difference. Christian Aid supporter Beryl Margaret Hadwin didn't only deliver babies into the world safely in her life as a midwife. Even after her death, she is still ensuring that safe babies are safely delivered, thanks to a generous legacy gift that she left to Christian Aid for healthcare projects in Africa. After waking up from eye surgery later in life, Beryl saw an African nurse holding her hand. That small human act of holding the hand and easing her fear touched Beryl so much that from that moment on, she vowed to leave a gift to healthcare in Africa. Beryl died in 2015, but her love lives on through the Ellis Hadwin Health Legacy, a fund set up in her name to deliver a 3-year healthcare program in Africa, specifically Burundi, Sierra Leone, and South Sudan, as well as Kenya and Nigeria. And this is the project that's been celebrated by Christian Aid this year. And Beryl's gift means that women and babies around the world can survive and thrive. It's her legacy that's helped support Nurse Judith and fund a 3-year health project in Africa. So this Christian Aid Week, we get to be inspired by midwife Beryl's legacy. And we get to participate in furthering her wonderful work by giving and fundraising for the work of Christian Aid. We get to be inspired by the legacy of Shifra and Puah, who resisted and challenged the political policies of the day. Sierra Leone struggles to provide better healthcare, including trained midwives. The Ebola crisis killed 10% of its healthcare professionals. And the burden of debt left by the loans they received to respond to the crisis hasn't helped. Inspired by the legacy of Beryl, not only can we contribute to the training of more nurses in Sierra Leone, but in our generous giving, we can also be inspired by Shifra and Puah to challenge the political decisions that are taking money away from the healthcare that is so desperately needed. It might not require the same creative storytelling as Shifra and Puah, but it is following in their legacy by speaking truth to power by our actions. The small human kindness of holding the hand of someone in need sparked a big change, and it's already making a difference in Sierra Leone. Our actions don't have to be huge. They can start off with something as simple as signing a petition card, or donating to Christian Aid, or attending a big breakfast. A quote from Mother Teresa, I cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And Christian Aid believes in life before death. And if, as we prayed at the beginning, your kingdom come, we must be involved in making that happen. In this way, we're all called to be midwives that usher in life and change, especially in the midst of hardship and difficulty. We are midwives who choose to stand with the oppressed and marginalised, even if it means challenging or disobeying the powers and principalities that rule this world. We are midwives who, unlike Pharaoh, are not afraid to look into the eyes of those considered expendable and see a life worth saving. We are midwives who hold the hand of those who mourn and fight for action to stop injustice. We don't do this alone. We are here today as church family. We need community of faithful friends to accompany us in our journey, to help remind us of God's presence in the world. We are to act together, to walk together with Christ. We are midwives who together, one small act at a time, can work to bring the kingdom of God here on earth. The psalmist wrote, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one of them in your book." Got two jars or bottles of water at the front, but consider the size of the jar or bottle that will be needed to contain all of God's tears for the world. And these words remind us that God's concern is for our sadness in the world. And as well as wanting to wipe away those tears, God invites us to help end the injustices that cause them. Mothers should not die in childbirth in Sierra Leone. The country should be able to afford better healthcare. However, much of this money is still being used to pay off the loans from the Ebola crisis. And we believe this Ebola debt should be written off. It is time to tear it up. So this Christian Aid Week, they've been calling on the UK government to do something about Sierra Leone's debt crisis. As the fourth largest shareholder in International Monetary Fund, the UK has a huge influence. And Christian Aid is calling on the Chancellor of Exchequer to ensure all Sierra Leone's debts are written off. We're also asking the Chancellor to take urgent action to prevent new debt crises in developing countries and tackle them. We're going to pray in a moment. And then there's going to be a song before we come to communion. So I invite you, if you want to come and take a chain, to tear it up. If you want to, you can write a prayer on it for Sierra Leone, but take it and keep it with you this week to remind you to pray for Sierra Leone. I'll leave them there at the end of the service. If you prefer to do that at the end of the service, you can do. Small actions make a difference. There are also prayer cards. If you took them last week, please remember to return them. And there's a box at the back, I think, to put them in. Or if you don't want to do that, there's also a petition that you can sign, which is the same thing. I'd encourage you to do that before you leave this morning, if you're able. Small actions make a difference. Let's be known for people who put God's love into action. Let's be known for our actions.